Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. Immediately on coming up out of the water, he saw the sky rent in two, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Then a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son, on you my favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Ten topics. Most of you are bilingual, so I'll go for English, okay? Okay, one of the primary symbols used in baptism is the candle. Okay, la vela in Spanish, the candle. You see that there's a candle there. It's a bigger candle. And the name is the Spanicidio Pascual, or the Paschal candle. After the child is baptized, one of you, Godfather, Godmother, Mother, or Father, is going to go around and you're going to take your small candle. I think all of you have a candle here, right? Got a persona tiene una vela. You're going to go and you're going to light the candle. And then you're going to come back and you're going to be walking through this door and you're going to have to tapar. You're going to have to cup your hands so that the candle is not blown out. Okay? It's very symbolic. And what this candle symbolizes is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." That's the primary symbol. He's the light of the world. But then he also said, "You are the light of the world." So what it means is this, is that you as parents and godparents, it's your obligation to give light to your children. Okay? Not complicated. Give light to your children. Now, how is that going to be done? Okay, easier said than done, huh? Easier said than done. Easier to say it, huh? So I'd like to give various things that you should really try to do. Okay, first of all is you have to pray. You have to pray in your family. And eventually you have to teach your children to pray. A few months ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Florida to visit my parents and one of my nephews. And I come from a pretty big family, 9 children. My parents have 38 grandchildren, bigger than the Mexican families. Now and then you can find an American family that has a big family, and I come from that, okay? Thanks be to God, no? And I had an experience that was very interesting. I have various ahijados, okay? And one is my oldest nephew, who's about 33, 34. I think he had his third child last week, so he just had another baby, you know? His oldest one, when I went to visit, was 2 years old, and he could pray the creed and the rosary at 2 years old. And I didn't believe him. I said, "No, Mikey, he can't do it. That's you, just you're making it up." He said, "Mikey, let's see. Can you pray the creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, the Lord." Then he was able to lead the rosary at 2 years old. Now, obviously, he's intelligent, right? Like his uncle, right? Like his father, rather, okay? But that didn't come by chance. How they come about is that my nephew and his wife really worked hard to teach this little kid how to pray. Let me tell you something sad. I work with confirmation kids. Sometimes they start out, they don't even know the Our Father, and they're 14 years old. My little nephew, 2 years old, can pray better than a lot of the confirmation kids. And not that the confirmation kids are tontitos or dummies, as we say in English, not. Just that their parents have never prayed with them. Not that they're lacking intelligence, but, you know, there's a difference between intelligence and education. You know what that is? There's a difference. You can be highly intelligent, but you don't have education. But you have to have both education and intelligence. You put those two together, you get a Thomas Aquinas, right? Okay? Or an Augustine. Or an Alphonsus. So if you have to have, you have to have both intelligence and education. I meet some of these abuelitas, Mexicanas, and I say, this lady can't even read right, but she's more intelligent than I am. She's highly gifted in the way she communicates. She's able to put ideas, concepts. She's got a good memory. But she was born in un ranchito in Hidalgo, and there was no opportunity for her to go to school. But here we live in the most highly educated country in the world, the United States. That's why you've come here from Mexico and other countries to get the best. But take advantage of it. But teach your children to pray. Teach them to pray. And pray with them. Pray with them even when they don't want to pray. Your parents, no kid infidel, después si va a ser ateo más grande cuando tiene 18 años. Baloney, as they say in New York, huh? Macanas, no? You're just giving into the laziness of the kid. So, maybe they don't want to pray. They don't want to pray. Pray double. That's what I would do. I'm not a biological father, but that's the way that is. You don't want to pray one rosary, we'll pray two. And no more complaints, okay? I have a different philosophy of education than most parents, no? I think you got to be tough. You got to be demanding. Now, don't give in to the laziness of little kids. They're born with original sin. What does that mean? They're born lazy. They're born gluttonous. They're born avaricious. You've heard the capital sins, right? They're born envious. You put a little kid in a room, he's got 10 toys, another kid comes in, he picks up his toys, what does he do? Drops to, picks up, bops him over the head, that's mine, right? That's called greed, right? And we're born that way. So, the first is this, you got to pray. But if you don't pray, how can you teach them how to pray? You can't give what you don't have, no? Or you're going to be doubly caught, hypocrita, no? You're going to be a $3 bill, huh? Which doesn't exist, by the way. Okay? You don't want to be a fake. Second is, where are we going tomorrow? Las Vegas? I hope not. Where are we going tomorrow? Are you going to church? Good. Okay, what are you going to do in church? Fall asleep? No. You're going to receive what's the greatest gift in the world? No hablan todos al mismo tiempo, no? What's the greatest gift in the world? Holy Communion, right? So tomorrow you're going to come to church, but I don't want caliente bancas. What's a caliente banca? Know what that expression is, caliente banca? A bench warmer, huh? You play soccer, baseball, you're a caliente banca, it's an insult, you know? It's an insult. Get out there and play. Make a goal of the house or home run, huh? It's much better, huh? So we want to participate and we want to receive Holy Communion. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, so that's the second way to keep that candle burning. Okay, third is this. Very important. You're here for this baptism, but you have to keep studying your faith. Did you ever meet a couple of Mormons? Those guys, they're usually 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes, white shirt, and they're driving a bike, going through the center of Hawaiian Gardens. You ever meet them? I once stopped a couple of those guys, and I was talking with them, and they spoke a Spanish better than the Mexicans. Where the heck did you guys learn how to do? We went down to Guatemala to convert the Mexicans here. Did you know that most Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, used to be Catholics? Did you know that? They used to be Catholics. Most of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they used to be Catholics. What does that mean? Catholics, they never learned their faith. They never learned their faith. And the Mormons come with their white ties, or the white shirts, their tires, their bicycles, attractive, speaking better Spanish than a lot of Mexicans know, and they convert them. To be the other way around, we should maybe learn a good English to convert them, huh? we should convert them. We got the truth. We have the fullness of the truth, but we're flojos. Flojos, no? Flojones, no? Well, they're the fullness of the error, but they get the fire. They get the fire of truth. So we have to keep studying our faith. And if you meet professionals in this country, who would they be? Lawyers, doctors, engineers, professors, teachers. What do they have to do? They have to study. One of you are a professional, you know what I'm talking about. If you're a teacher, you have to keep studying. If you're a lawyer, you have to keep studying. I have a brother that's a doctor. Hey, he graduated from Dartmouth in Columbia, summa cum laude, you know, the best in the country, you know. But he has to keep studying because he's got to know the knowledge that's present in medicine today. He can't be living in the 70s. We're living in the year 2017. Should it be the same thing with Catholics? Shouldn't we be professional Catholics? Professional Catholics. Catholics that really know their faith. They live it and they're able to transmit it to others. That's what the candle means. And last but not least, you got to try to pray the rosary. Try to pray the rosary every day. No? There are people that pray the rosary only in Las Vigilias de los Muertitos, right? Try to pray the rosary every day. It only takes 15 minutes. How long is a telenovela?
1 hour.
How long is a telenovela? An hour. Ah, an hour. Okay, let's see. Rosary praying 15 minutes, right? A little bit of math. 15, 30, 45, 60. If my mathematics is not faulty, pray 4 rosaries in 1 telenovela. How about in Partida de Football? 90 minutes, but with the commercials, probably going to be 2.5 hours, right? Rosary, 15 minutes. How about a baseball game? And the Angels playing the Dodgers, 3 hours, no? Extra innings, maybe 3.5 hours, right? Rosary, 15 minutes. So we have to pray the rosary. The beautiful prayer. That's what Mary wants. And did you know that we're in the year of Fatima, right? 100 years ago, Our Lady appeared in Fatima to 3 little children, Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia, the 100th anniversary. So now more than ever, we have to pray the rosary for the family, and John Paul II said for world peace. Those two intentions, world peace and for the family. So we have to keep that candle burning. When the candle goes out, you got to go to confession. There it is, confessional. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. But our God is always willing to forgive us. Amen? Amen? He's a merciful Father that forgives those who are able to say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, forgive me. Beautiful words. So there's a beautiful day to baptize. And it's a good idea to remember what saint we celebrate today. No one here knows except Padre Escobita. Give you a hint. He lived to be 100 years old. He lived at the same time as St. Thomas Aquinas. He lived at the same time as St. Dominic, the founder of the Dominicans. He lived at the same time as St. Albert the Great. I think I won't tell you, so you have to look it up, okay? Should I tell you or should I? You know? Okay, St. Raymond of Peñafort, okay? He lived to be 100 years old and a great saint, father of St. Dominic, friend of Thomas Aquinas. You've heard of him, I hope. And St. Albert the Great, who was a teacher of Thomas Aquinas. So remember, the day we baptize these children is the feast day of St. Raymond of Peñafort. Maybe that could be the confirmation name, okay? And though the Mexicans do it, they could maybe put Raymunda, right? Amen. We're going to say the prayer of the faithful.